How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word show, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text show to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, hour one.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we've begun our tour of stations across America, beginning at WOKV in Jacksonville, Florida. I'll be meeting with listeners tonight. Glad to have you with me today. I have done the show notes myself because Philip got strep throat. The downside of having kids, you know, is they bring home all the illnesses. His is from fishing, undoubtedly. But I myself, in like 20 minutes, did the show notes, which means that if you text Eric to 33777 and subscribe to the show notes, it really will track exactly what I'm talking about today, because I landed in Jacksonville, came to the station, engaged in so many conversations. Show notes was legit show prep for this show, and I will begin where I began with the show notes. I wish to play you this audio.
It's perfect for the radical left Democrats. That's exactly what they want. This is about election interference. That's all it's about. Thank you very much.
All right, so this was about a request that Trump had made to skip his criminal trial, something he's expected to be present for every single day, to attend the oral arguments in the Supreme Court hearing over whether or not the president has absolute immunity. The judge said no, and so Trump came out and complained. He appeared, when we first went to him, to be complaining about not being permitted to attend a graduation, but we want to run that down to make sure that is indeed what transpired. This was a pretty grievance-filled griping Trump. This wasn't, you know, the jurors love me so much. And he looked fatigued from the day. I mean, you had the reporting, and Maggie Haberman, I know, saw him, you know, nod off at one point. And there's also a vast body of reporting. He was very engaged in jury selection. But this was a pretty defeated and deflated Donald J. Trump.
Pretty defeated and deflated. So, first of all, reality is you got to be there for your criminal trial. He's not going to get out for his son's high school graduation. Many Trump critics, when he complained about that, said, hey, I missed my kid's graduation because you locked us all down over COVID. He should be able to attend a Supreme Court hearing, but the judge isn't going to let him do that. But what does he expect? This isn't favorable. But forget Trump. This is about the media. This is about the media's obsession with this. They're turning this into a soap opera. And what they don't seem to understand is, for a bunch of people who despise Donald Trump, they're doing this because it helps their ratings, and in the process of helping their ratings, it actually does help Donald Trump as well. And they totally, totally forget that. They are in a sick, symbiotic codependency with Donald Trump. They can't let him go. He can't let them go. And that actually elevates Donald Trump and gets him reelected. I got to be repetitious with you here today. I got to be a little repetitious with you, because I need, for those of you who are just tuning in here, you might be on our new station, KJC, in Austin, Texas. I need to re-explain what this criminal trial in New York is, because any fair-minded person out there should be able to recognize it's a ridiculous show trial. Now, before those of you who are new to the program listen, say, well, of course you're going to say that you hump Donald Trump's leg. You should see the hate mail I get from Trump supporters because I criticize Donald Trump. Because I'm not a Trump fan. I would prefer someone else be the Republican nominee. This is a garbage trial. It should have never been brought. What's so notable, though, is you can't say these things now because we've become so tribal. Like, I can recognize these are Donald Trump's chickens coming home to roost. His personal, political, and professional conduct have all collided and rubbed so many people in such a bad way. They've decided they got to take him out through any means necessary in the legal process, that he deserves what he gets, even if this trial isn't the right trial, except that's not the way American justice is supposed to work. I can say that, though, and the Trumps are like, well, I can't believe you would say that these are chickens coming home to roost. Well, it is, and you may not like it, but it kind of, he's rubbed so many people the wrong way for so long, this is payback. Except, also, on the other hand, that's not the way the system is supposed to work. All the Donald Trump's superpower continues to be that he causes others to act in the way they claim he acts. They claim Donald Trump acts like a third world banana republic kleptocratic autocrat, and they themselves become third world banana republic kleptocratic autocrats. Whether he actually is or not doesn't matter. It's how they perceive him they then become. You claim that Donald Trump does all these bad things. You're going to do them. It is remarkable. You claim Donald Trump's a heavy-handed autocrat. You're going to become one. Let me explain the case to you. For those of you who are new listeners, I, your host, for many years was an election lawyer. I happen to know what I'm talking about here. This is within my wheelhouse, precisely. Donald Trump is accused by Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan District Attorney, of documentary fraud, that Donald Trump paid Stormy Daniels money to shut her up. And instead of listing the money in accounting as payment of a past debt, Donald Trump listed it as legal services, expenses related legal services, because he ran the money through Michael Cohen, his lawyer. And Alvin Bragg says that's fraudulent because it wasn't actually for legal services. It was to shut her up. It was to pay her money, a debt owed to her, so she wouldn't talk. There's a problem. Statute of limitations is 2 years. Statute of limitations is well passed. So Alvin Bragg had to elevate the crime to a felony. The way Alvin Bragg decided to elevate it to a felony was to say this documentary fraud, was related to the covering up of a crime. So what is the crime? Alvin Bragg alleges the crime is that Donald Trump did not disclose the payment to Stormy Daniels on his campaign finance report when he ran for president of the United States. And that is a felony. If you refuse to disclose large sums of money in your campaign finance reports, that's a felony. So Alvin Bragg says Donald Trump committed that felony on his campaign finance reports. Therefore, this documentary fraud is tied to the commission of a felony. Therefore, the statute of limitations is like 5 or 6 years. Therefore, we can prosecute Donald Trump. There's a problem, a fatal flaw. He says that the payment to Stormy Daniels is a campaign expenditure. His argument is that had Donald Trump not paid Stormy Daniels, it could have cost him the election. So he had to pay Stormy Daniels so that he wouldn't get cost the election. The man who said he could grab women by their you-know-what caught on tape, that this could have cost him the election against Hillary Cackles Clinton. So it was a campaign finance expenditure. Except, the rule for campaign finance expenditure is, would this payment have been made if the candidate was not running for office? If the payment would have been made if the candidate was not running for office, it's not a campaign finance issue. It's like paying your power bill. You don't disclose that you paid your power bill on your campaign finance report because you would have paid your power bill whether you run for office or not. In this case, Melania Trump had a prenuptial agreement. She would have been paid millions of dollars had Stormy Daniels come out and said she and Donald Trump had an affair. So arguably, Donald Trump would have had to pay Stormy Daniels whether he was running for office or not because of his prenup with Melania Trump. He had to cover up the affair. Therefore, it's not a campaign finance violation. Therefore, it's not a felony. Therefore, the extension of the statute of limitations doesn't apply. Therefore, Donald Trump can't be indicted. But wait, there's an argument there. He says, yes, it was. It was. So, okay, it was, except there's a problem. Under federal campaign finance law, only the federal government can prosecute someone for violating federal campaign finance law. Neither the Department of Justice nor the Federal Elections Commission chose to prosecute Donald Trump for this alleged campaign finance violation. In fact, a complaint was filed with the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, about this transaction, and they dismissed it. So neither the FEC nor the Department of Justice have considered it a crime. Therefore, there is no underlying felony. Therefore, you cannot extend the statute of limitations. Therefore, you cannot prosecute Donald Trump for documentary fraud based on covering up an underlying crime to extend the statute of limitations. Either way, it fails. Alvin Bragg's prosecution does. But the people who hate Donald Trump don't care. The means justify the ends. They want to get Donald Trump any way possible. Therefore, they will prosecute him in this way. They do not care about the underlying facts. They do not care about the underlying law. And if you do, and if you raise that complaint, well, you're just a Trump humper and you don't care that Donald Trump's a bad guy and Donald Trump needs to go to jail. Except you people don't care that the American justice system is not designed to work this way. It's not supposed to work this way. There's a real question whether or not Donald Trump can even get a fair trial. But I think what people don't really appreciate enough is that two-thirds of Americans don't really even care. This is the Associated Press. Only about one-third of U.S. adults say Trump did something illegal in the hush money case, for which jury selection began Monday, while close to half think he did something illegal in the other three criminal cases pending against him. And they're fairly skeptical that Trump is getting a fair shake from the prosecutors in the case, or that the judge and jurors can be impartial in cases involving him. Half of Americans would consider Trump unfit to serve as president if he's convicted of falsifying business documents to cover up hush money payments to a woman who said he had a sexual encounter with him. But that's half of all adults. What about the registered voters? They don't particularly like him, but they hate Biden more. And the way the media is treating this case is as a soap opera. Oh my gosh, did you hear Donald Trump? He fell asleep. He fell asleep during the trial. He was nodding off. Maggie Haberman of the New York Times said so. He looks defeated and deflated in his press conference. He looks like he's lost. Joy Reid at MSNBC says there's poetic irony that the prosecutors prosecuting him are black. Racial revenge against Donald Trump. He's orange. What's the racial revenge? Did the Oompa Loompas do something bad? I mean, it's the difference between... that triggered some of you. Y'all, this case is nonsensical. You can say there's legitimacy to Jack Smith's prosecution. You can say there's legitimacy to Fannie Willis's prosecution, even if it falls apart. There is real legitimate prosecutor discretion in the classified documents case. This case doesn't have an underlying real legal basis. And I predict that one, probably going to be a hung jury. I don't think he's going to be acquitted in New York City, but probably hung jury. You only need one. But I think on appeal, ultimately, it gets thrown out. I think it's going to be like the Bob McDonnell case. Bob McDonnell, governor of Virginia, was prosecuted for basically a graft, greed, corruption, under a corruption act. His wife took money he didn't know about, claimed to benefit him. It went to the Supreme Court. He'd gone to jail, and the Supreme Court unanimously threw out his conviction. I don't think Trump will ever go to jail for this. In fact, the standard here and the underlying crime and the way it's prosecuted, at worst, it would be probation for him if he's found guilty. But I don't even think that'll happen. I think this ultimately goes into federal court because the underlying crime is based on federal law. Therefore, the federal court system gets involved ultimately in this. And all it does is it causes more people to tune out. The soap opera-like thing, here's what the media misunderstands completely about Donald Trump. This is a class revolt in the country that led to the rise of Donald Trump. The elites are trying to get him. That makes the underlying middle class and lower class Americans love him. And at the same time, what do most Americans want in life right now? They want to be entertained. And Donald Trump is far more entertaining than Joe Biden. So this all benefits Donald Trump. I'm watching a video of pro-Palestinian protesters who are sitting on streets blocking traffic. And the citizens who are so furious, they're getting out of their cars or they're walking onto the roads as pedestrians, dragging these people out of the way. You know, they blocked the bridge in the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. They block traffic into Chicago O'Hare. You notice they're not doing this in red parts of the country. They're doing this in progressive parts of the country where nobody has a gun and no one's going to throw you off the bridge. I assure you, there are parts of this country where if you decide to block rush hour traffic, you're going to get thrown off the bridge into the water or onto the road underneath the bridge, or you're going to get shot, or you're going to get run over. And some states have actually passed laws that if you are impeding traffic and get injured by a vehicle by impeding traffic to protest, it's not the fault of the person who ran you over, and there probably should be more laws like that. By the way, I say this in this way, and you should know that Iranian journalists are reporting that the Iranian regime has been encouraging Palestinian sympathetic organizations to do these things to undermine the economies of the West. They're trying to get pro-Palestinian protesters to disrupt traffic and make people late for work to undermine economies. If you're doing this, you're not actually helping the Palestinians, but you are helping the Iranians. All it does, I think, is undermine your cause when these people show up and they block traffic. Somebody here at WOKV was telling me that they tried this in Miami and it didn't go very well for them as people came off the streets and dragged them out of the way and the traffic sped up. And once the traffic got going fast, they couldn't really walk back out into the road without getting hit. It's a good thing. I gotta tell you that these protesters, not only do they undermine their cause, I think they drive up more sympathy for Israel. So let them get out of hand, and it undermines their cause. And I'm okay with undermining their cause, but I hate it for people late for work or who are going to miss flights because of these idiots. Now, I don't want you to miss out on this great deal from Stamps.com and this great ability to ship packages without ever having to go stand in line. Did it the other night. Had to send some master swag to a friend of mine. I bought on it for him this past Friday. Weighed it out, put it in a box, labeled everything, and UPS came and picked it up. I never had to go stand in line. It is brilliant. And, you know, the great thing about it is you can cancel at any time. If you go through a lull, you're not shipping a lot. All you do is go to stamps.com. You click on the microphone. You put in Eric, E-R-I-C-K. You get some postage. You get a free digital scale. And then you can get up to 89% off post office UPS shipping rates. And you do your labeling yourself. It gives you a great discount. You can pick the fastest option or the cheapest option, whichever you need. All you do, go to stamps.com, click the microphone, put in Eric, E-R-I-C-K, and you can get started shipping with stamps.com, and they will come pick up the packages from you. You can do this all with the stamps.com interface and say, come pick up my package. They will come pick up the package. You never have to go stand in line. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, put in Eric, E-R-I-C-K. Get shipping and saving today. Greetings, conversationalists across the fruited plain. I am broadcasting from Jacksonville, Florida today as we begin trotting across the country. Just stay tuned. We're going to be here. We'll do Orlando. We're going to get down to Miami at some point. We're going to get to Greenville, South Carolina. We got to, of course, go to Las Vegas at some point. All of our stations. I want to be as grassrootsy as I can and hang out with the audience. I'll tell you where I need to go at some point. I got to go up to Southern Pines and get up there to North Carolina because we got a lot of great listeners up there. And I got to go play Pinehurst, of course, even though I suck. Now, let us go to the phones, 877-973-7425. Tim, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Eric. I just wanted to say first off that your show is not only entertaining, but it's so informing. Information is power, and I just kind of feel empowered every day when I listen. I find out stuff that I wouldn't hear anywhere else.
That's very kind. Thank you.
The thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, when you have a judicial system that is so hyper-partisan, when Democrats are in charge, when the Democrats and the mainstream media are in charge, the only reason why this case that Alvin Bragg is bringing in New York is to do mud rucking. It's mm-hmm. simply to put people like Michael Cohen on the stand, who has probably got to be one of the most untrustworthy witnesses you could have. And that's the only witness that the state has. So I think it's just like modern day mud rucking.
Oh, it absolutely is. And this is something that at the beginning of the country, these were the sorts of things that happened. It's like we've come full circle in this situation. And they do want Michael Cohen on to drag down Donald Trump. And you know, if you're a prosecutor, now listen, I didn't do a lot of criminal law. I when I was a lawyer, I did indigent criminal defense. But when I was in law school for a time, I did work in a district attorney's office, just doing an internship with the district attorney's office. And I know enough about criminal law, having worked the defense side and been in the district attorney's office for a little bit. You don't want to put someone on the stand who has admitted essentially under oath and in writing to have been a professional liar for his career and to have possibly perjured himself, among other things. He's a deeply uncredible witness at this point, and it's very easy to paint him as just nursing sour grapes about Donald Trump to undermine his credibility, in addition to the things he has said about himself and his prior lies. You only put him on the stand just because you want to embarrass Donald Trump. This is about the election. It's not about justice.
Absolutely. Well said. Well
Thanks said. So much, and Tim.
You bet.
Thanks for the kind words as well. 877-973-7425. I got to pull up some audio for you. Charlie actually was useful for once. He found this audio. He's sitting right here next to me. He found this clip. And I got to play you this audio. This may blow your mind. Now, I have to tell everybody. Years ago, there was a man who did the nightly news, and his name was Dan Rather, and my grandmother loved listening to him. I don't understand why he was always in third place. CBS Evening News has always been in third place. I don't know why my grandmother liked Dan Rather. I guess because he was like Walter Cronkite's successor. Walter Cronkite was the guy everybody listened to. And Rather has always been a lib, always been. He undermined himself with fake documents about George W. Bush's time in the Air National Guard in Texas that were easily disproven because they were written in a typeface that didn't exist at the time George W. Bush was in the National Guard. It was clearly a document written in Microsoft Word using a font from Microsoft Word, and it was easily disproven. This gave rise to the age of the bloggers as fact checkers, and the media has hated it ever since, and Rather has never owned up to it. But this, friends, this is a CBS Evening News broadcast from 1982, from March 25th, 1982, here down in Florida, where I'm broadcasting from today. This is very relevant. And again, this is Dan Rather, CBS Evening News, broadcast at 5:41 and 30 seconds Central Time, March 25th, 1982.
Concern about rising temperatures on planet Earth heated up a hearing here in Washington today. For years, scientists have theorized about the dangers of the so-called greenhouse effect, the warming of the Earth's atmosphere due to the burning of coal and oil. And in recent months, as David Culhane reports, research has uncovered facts to support that theory.
Many scientists claim that the temperature of the Earth's atmosphere has been rising over the past 100 years, that the great sheets of pack ice in Antarctica are melting at a much more rapid rate than previously. And finally, that the sea level has been rising with increasing swiftness over the past 40 years. If these scientists are correct, about 25% of Florida would be flooded, along with low-lying areas all over the world. climate changes could produce widespread disruption of agriculture. The American farm belt might be too dry, and the wheat and corn crops would have to move to Canada. Scientists blame the odorless, colorless carbon dioxide gas for these potentially dangerous changes around the planet. It is the greenhouse effect. The gas allows sunlight to filter down and warm the earth. But like the glass of a greenhouse, the carbon dioxide tends to trap heat so that it cannot rise into space. The scientists maintain that the coal, oil, and gas we've been burning for 100 years have produced more and more carbon dioxide and helped overheat the earth. Now, some political leaders endorse the demands for more CO2 monitoring stations, like this one in Hawaii. And they share the anger of the scientists at Reagan administration budget cuts at a time when they feel closer to getting definitive answers.
We are not doing the kind of research that we should be doing to determine whether or not these scientists who are so alarmed are correct in their assessment.
And what they find out
that
will
was
affect
Al Gore.
The lives and fortunes of millions of people, the very survival of cities like this one. David Culhane, CBS News, New York.
He's standing in front of the Twin Towers in New York City, the survival of the city. That's 42 years ago with a young Al Gore. 20% of Florida is going to be flooded because of greenhouse gases. They've been on the same thing. 25% of Florida will soon be flooded. 42 years ago. And they just keep saying, but just wait. So a buddy of mine, Ryan, who's probably listening right now, he's a meteorologist. He's a doctor. He's like a real PhD. You can tell he's a real PhD because he doesn't insist that you call him doctor. He is a climatologist. He started as a global warming skeptic. He's moved to the position that climate change is a real phenomenon. It's adaptable and the doom scenarios are overstated. And he's noted that in the last couple of years, the doom scenarios have begun to be more and more restrained because all of these doom scenarios haven't come to pass. So if you will recall, the Obama administration in 2009-ish, 2009, 2010, started putting signs in Yellowstone and in Glacier National Park to let people know that by the year 2020, if we didn't fight climate change, the glaciers would all be melted away. They were all going to go. Those poor glaciers were going to disappear. And what happened? They had to take the signs down. The glaciers have outlasted the signs. Now, let's just, for the sake of argument, for the sake of argument, say climate change is this real big phenomenon. The glaciers are there that they said would be melted by 2020. The world is not flooded. To the extent that South Florida is flooding its subsistence, it's not the rise of oceans. It's that Miami is sinking because of the use of the underground aquifers. Miami is actually sinking. That's what's causing the flooding. The scientists are taking advantage of the flooding, saying, see, we were right, except they were premised on the oceans rising, not Miami sinking. Miami sinking. The doom scenarios of we have 10 years to save the planet, they've been telling us we had 10 years to save the planet for about 30 years now, and yet here we are, it's another 10 years. Now they're saying it's 2 years, we're going to be at a tipping point. They just keep changing their mind. And the doom scenarios have not played out. You know, we're now living in the time that they said we would not exist because of climate change, and yet here we are, still plucking away on planet Earth. Everything's fine. So for the sake of argument, let's just say climate change is real. It's clearly not the disaster that they said it was going to be. Maybe we should adapt. And, you know, there's also a level of how the left has embraced this whole idea that white colonialism is bad. And the left are the ultimate white colonizers. They refuse to allow Africa to develop because they're desperately afraid of all the people in Africa getting electricity and turning on air conditioners. they would rather than keep in poverty. It's why they don't want Africa's nations spraying DDT to kill the mosquitoes and end malaria, because they actually need dead Africans, because if they populate too much and develop too much, why, it could be the tipping point in less than 10 years. We could all die because of the populations of Africa turning on air conditioners. They're perfectly fine with the African nations living in squalor as third world countries because they're desperately afraid, these white progressives are, that they could be the tipping point. The level of colonial paternalism of the progressive left. The fact of the matter is there's clearly something going on with the planet. We don't need to get theological to recognize that there are things going on with the planet. But, you know, they were saying we're going to have these massive numbers of hurricanes. They didn't pan out. We were going to have these massive storms that were going to kill everybody. It hadn't panned out. They were saying, oh, my gosh, look at the tornadoes. Well, it's the spring. That's when you get tornadoes. And then they hold their climate summits in winter and inevitably get snowed in wherever they are. And then they want to say it's climate change. And then they've had to rebrand. It's global warming. Now it's climate change. We can't say global warming because in some places it's getting cold. And so they wonder about global warming. So we got to say climate change. And so it's climate change and it's climate change, but it's actually global warming and the planet's going to get warm, but not right now. Right now it's going to be extra cold. They can't keep their story straight. For the sake of argument, let's just say climate change is real. In fact, let's say there are 7-8 billion of us on the planet that we in some way, just as a matter of ecological impact, as being the single largest organism on the planet, that is the most productive organism on the planet, that we can impact climate. The idea from the scientists and progressive activists is that we should give up our way of life as opposed to we should adapt. There are ways to adapt. You know, what is it, Mexico Beach down in Florida, the Apalachicolan area, had a massive hurricane. Was it Hurricane Michael that came through? It was just deeply devastating to the Florida panhandle. Had one house in the Apalachicolan area stood. The only damage it had was a gutter came off. So many of the other houses built so long ago, they just washed away. They were gone. You had just empty, empty, empty sands, some pylons remaining in this one house. Well, this one house, the owners built it to withstand major hurricanes. They adapted, and the house stood strong in the storm. There are ways to adapt. But the left doesn't want us to adapt because they want us to give up our lifestyle. It's more important for them that we suffer, and the suffering is our punishment. It's a religion to them. It's a religion of suffering. And it is a religion. It's not science. They've been spreading their doom and gloom scenarios since even before Dan Rather in this 1982 report claimed that 25% of Florida would shortly be flooded if they didn't do anything soon. And 42 years later, here we are. Everything's fine except Miami, and it's not because the oceans are rising. It's because it's sinking because the underground aquifers are tapped out. And that, too, they can adapt. But the left, God forbid we adapt when we can instead give up our way of life and turn socialist. That's ultimately what they want. Remember, these environmentalists, they're watermelons, green on the outside, but red in the middle. Now, you would learn a lot of this stuff and great, great inside information on the climate change scam and cult out there from Imprimis, which is the monthly publication from Hillsdale College that you can get completely for free by going to ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K. Imprimis contains some of the great wisdom from conservative thought leaders around the country. Every month it comes to your mailbox completely free. Just go to ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. You go to ericforhillsdale.com, you put in your email address, you click through, you put in your address, and you completely for free, no charge. You don't even have to, like, put a credit card number or anything in. You just start getting a Imprimis. I've gotten it since I was in college, or actually law school. And it is just every month thought-provoking. You get Victor Davis Hanson, Larry Arnn, Heather McDonald, Chris Rufo, so many other conservative thought leaders, based on either transcripts of speeches given on Hillsdale's campus or submitted writing that circulates to Hillsdale's college. Now, why do they do this? Because it's part of their mission to educate America, part of their educational mission, so that you can be steeped in deep wisdom from the conservative movement at no cost to you. You go to Eric, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com today and sign up and begin your relationship with Hillsdale and start getting Imprimis completely for free. ericforhillsdale.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. Wherever you are in these United States, if you're buying a building, buying a franchise, buying on a business partner, buying a competitor, you need $250,000 or more. First Liberty specializes in those deals, and they might be able to help your business grow. You can get their contact info at FirstLibertyGA.com. Anywhere in the nation, they help businesses. FirstLibertyGA.com. Spend 10 minutes with them. See if you're fit for them. See if they're fit for you. Tell them I sent you. FirstLibertyGA.com. The University of Southern California has rescinded the invitation for their valedictorian to speak. Andrew Guzman, the provost and senior vice president for academic affairs at the University of Southern California, said the decision was based on maintaining campus security and safety. The valedictorian, Asna Tabusum, said in a public statement she felt the university abandoned her. Guzman, in a statement to the University of Southern California community, said, quote, "The decision is not only necessary to maintain the safety of our campus and students, but is consistent with the fundamental legal obligation, including the expectation of federal regulators, that universities act to protect students and to keep our campus community safe. The decision was made after days of complaints from students, alumni, and others who viewed the valedictorian's social media activity as anti-Semitic." I gotta tell y'all, you know where I stand on this Israel situation. And I'm sure she and I would vehemently disagree. But this young lady worked her tail off for 4 years to become the valedictorian, the University of Southern California. She should be entitled to speak. And the audience should have to listen to her. She earned it. And that the University of Southern California would prefer to rescind her invitation than to stand up for her free speech rights is a pretty damning indictment on that university. I mean, their mascot is the Trojan. They are literally like a university whose mascot is a condom. They should be able to protect this student. Not do the Leslie Nielsen full body condom thing from Airplane or anything, but, you know, I mean, they should be able to protect this student, to be able to give her speech, send out Trojan Man, and protect this people at graduation. She should be allowed to speak. And if people want to protest her, well, it's their right too. It's their right too. The immovable object and the unstoppable force colliding, the protester and the protestees colliding in protest. But let her, she's the valedictorian. She worked her butt off for this. And universities are caving so easily on free speech these days. Except, you know what's so amazing here is that so often, so regularly now, it is the anti-Semites who disrupt everyone and they get away with it. They get away with it. It's the Jewish counter-protesters who never get away with it, including in this case. She's the valedictorian. USC should fold on this. They should allow her to speak. If she's to be protested, she's to be protested. But they should allow this young lady to speak, whether I agree with what she says or not.